phone. She can't seem to join. She's not able to join with the camera yet, but we'll keep trying.
Excellent. And then from the health department, we have...
This is Brittany.
This is Sarah.
Jessica.
Orion.
Tracy.
Brandy. Oh, sorry.
Excellent. And I'm going to guess that the 435381 is Kelly.
Yeah, she just sent another message that she's been trying to talk and we can't hear her. So she's going to work on that. But that is her.
Excellent.
Star 6. Star 6 sometimes allows you to do audio on Zoom.
Hey, this is Kelly. Can you hear me now?
Hey, we got you. Thanks, Orion.
Thank you so much.
Orion with the Superhero Award today.
Thank you.
All right, we will open it up for public comments. Is there anybody from the general public that has something that they wish to share? Hearing none, I will bring this to a close, and we will review and the possible approval of the minutes for July 16th, 2024.
I move to accept the minutes from July 16th, 2024.
I have a motion to approve from Commissioner Began. Do I have a second?
I'll second. This is Breanne.
Excellent. Have a motion and a second. All in favor? All opposed? Any opposed? And abstentions? All right. We shall move on. To budget and possible approvals, clarifications, and questions. Brady or Tracy, do you want to tackle this?
Okay, so are there any questions on the check register disbursement listing?
I didn't get any questions.
Okay, so do you want to do a motion to approve that, Tracy?
Yes, if there's okay. No other questions.
No questions, then we will seek motion to approve the check register and disbursement listing.
This is Kathy. Also move that we approve the check register and disbursements.
Okay, motion from Kathy. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Commissioner McGann. All in favor? Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Okay. Take it away, Tracy, for budget summary and print.
So the budget summary, this is through June of this year, so January through June, just to show you where we're at. And so the original budget and then what we've actually spent. So we're looking really good. There's a couple of things. If you look at insurance, it says we've spent 101%, but our insurance is all spent in January, so we don't spend it the rest of the year. So that one always shows being spent early. Printing and binding, we have spent a lot more than we originally budgeted, and so I did attach a copy of the printing and binding information that we spent throughout the year. So far to show you, and these will all be adjusted when we do the amended budget for 2024, but just so you can kind of see where things went, we've done a lot more handouts, a lot more educational things than we had anticipated at the beginning of the year. And they're broken up by programs, so you can see where we spent money. And then the other one that is off is the occupancy cost adjustment. And that's because in our building in Castledale, we didn't have renters when we did the budget. And now we have renters. And so the money goes into the occupancy cost adjustment and gets put back into all of the programs whenever we have renters. So those are the big things I just wanted to show you and let you know. Are there any questions?
And you've kind of alluded to it. Is it more a function of the print costs going up, or are you doing more educational pieces that's requiring the higher print costs, or what's the cost?
We did more things.
Oh,
there were
awesome.
More activities that they printed things for than what we anticipated at the beginning of the year when we did the budget. So.
And then like pharmacy and different things like that, are those taken out at the end of the year or?
The pharmacy, actually, if I did it through now, would show that it was going up. So the flu vaccine isn't ordered until August, September. So we're just now getting bills on a lot of those vaccines because they're seasonal.
Okay.
All the mini grants are the same. They're at 3%. We just spent the majority of our mini grant money last month, so it showed up in August.
Hearing no other questions, we'll entertain a motion to approve the budget summary.
This is Brianne. I'll make a motion to accept the budget summary.
Have a motion from Brianne. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a second from Commissioner McGann. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and then the 2025 budget considerations.
Okay, Brady and I have been working on this one. So this is our insurance rates that you can see. And currently we do 20%. The employee pays 20%. And we would like to change that to 10%. I checked with all of the counties and the highest one is 10% for the county, and we would like to offer this either in lieu of a raise or maybe just a smaller raise, but we'd like to, we calculated it would cost about $16,000 a year to lower the insurance premium for the employees. And so it's something we would like to do with our next year's budget, but we wanted to see how you guys felt about it now before we did the budget so we could present this next time. And Brady may have some more to say about it.
It's about $6,000 a pay period, right, Tracy? So $160,000.
Yes. Oh, $160,000, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the wrong number.
Yeah. We recognize just that, one, we do have great benefits and this is a way to kind of enhance that benefit package while spreading those costs, really effectively over the, throughout our programs. And we have some programs that kind of habitually get underspent. And this is one way to just naturally fill out that program. You know, we're putting lots of time and hours to them, but sometimes you just need this. We feel like it could fit really, really well within kind of some of those budgets that just don't quite get 100% spent all the year, each year. Obviously, we have some that get overspent, and those would be impacted as well. But on the whole, that's how we anticipate really spending the majority of these funds, is it would be charged to, it has to be charged equally, but it would go to those funds that are generally underspent. I said that this, I said the same thing like four times. Sorry about that.
So Tracy, could you tell us again what the plan is as far as this insurance?
So what we'd like to do is put this in next year's budget for 2025. So instead of having the employees pay 20% of the premium, have them pay 10% of the premium. And this would, it would help the employees. It would be kind of, it would be effective over the board for everyone. And we just think it would be a great benefit to them. So, and as you know, we were paying the health insurance premium for all the employees with some of our COVID funding. That ended last pay period. So this pay period, they're going back to their 20%. But as we looked around at other agencies, and especially the counties, none of the counties pay more than 10%. So one is 0%, one's 5%, and the other's 10%. So we'd kind of like to bring it down to the 10% to match what counties are doing.
So we really don't need any action taken on this today. We wanted to, the board to see what we were thinking of and be prepared, ask any questions that you'd like and be prepared for it to be voted upon with the budget proposals that come in November.
So we just kind of like,
may I say something? This is Orion.
Yeah.
Orion, we can hear you right now.
Okay. May I say something?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's up to that.
Shushing kids.
Yeah, what do you got, Orion?
Just as an employee of the health department, and I just wanted to interject that, you know, our health department has a really great work culture, and that results in employee retention, which will certainly offset these additional costs. And the more and more that I learn through leadership trainings and such, like, the workplace culture is going to be the key to keeping people around. And obviously offsetting some of these costs will just make employees happier, more, work harder and stick around. And we're seeing a lot of employees being lost in other government agencies in all three of our counties, because of the lack of support in many ways.
In general, I am very supportive of this, again, for the reasons that Orion has delineated, and then also, you know, helping as a health department, helping people have good access to affordable health care. I think that's one of our good priorities.
I think they're all really good reasons.
Well, thank you. We'll try to work this into our budget then.
All right, the public health report.
Okay, for this one, it's been a little while since we've had a real good summary of some of the different activities. And so I've asked the different programs. We won't go through all of them today, but particularly clinical services, community health, and environmental health to give an update. And some of the other ones we'll push to November. But so for now, I'll turn the time over to Orion, Jessica, or Sarah, or Jessica, and then Orion.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen. Can you guys see the slide?
Yes.
Okay. So I just went ahead and put together a little slideshow of things that we've been working on. So out of each of our sections in our department. So in immunizations, we are adding the RSV vaccine for adults this fall. We're currently working on that. It is for 75 and older is the recommendation, and for immunocompromised people that are 60 and older. So we're adding that. We're also going to start promoting shingles more because we had to get a program called Transact Rx so that we can bill for these vaccines through Medicare. And so the clerks, Bree, Brandy especially, are helping us get that set up. Tracy's helping with it in the other offices so that we can start billing for these vaccines and start advertising more that we have them. We plan to get COVID vaccine this fall. I'm currently working on setting up an ordering contract with that. We are sharing the year of 2024 with, well, part of 2024 and into 25 with emergency preparedness. We get 6 months. They get 6 months. We're doing videos in Price Theater. So if you guys go to the movie in Price, in October, there will be one about immunizations. It has a vampire and bats. We've been working with that company to promote some of our different programs. Our community flu clinics I wanted to highlight, we have Moab. We're doing a two-day there. So what I did last year was after flu clinics, I did a kind of a hot wash with all the staff that's involved, and I got some feedback. So I took all of the feedback, tried to make changes, and doing different things with flu clinics this year. So in Moab, some of the feedback I got was maybe doing a two-day. So we're doing one inside and one outside. The outside one is on a day where the students get out early, I believe. Or maybe we switched it, but we're doing it at the school so that the students and families can come after school that day. In Castle Dell, we're doing the 16th, and in Price, we're doing the 23rd. I got feedback to move them up earlier and not do them on Halloween because there's so many events. So we're doing it, we're calling it Ghost the Flu Virus this year. And then we're doing our flu clinic in conjunction with USU as well. The feedback that we got from that, we're doing one day inside, one day outside. We're going to be in the parking lot between the church and the high school this year. So we'll see how that works, and then we'll make adjustments and move on as necessary and make new plans for next year. So we got more advertising this year, too. We have feather signs, and I should have put a picture on here, but I didn't think about it till just now. We have signs that advertise immunizations. We have table covers. We have banners. So my goal was to be more of a presence when we are set up at a clinic. And so we'll have all of those things at our USU clinic when we do indoors. And then I also bought some stands where we can set up the signs outside when we have our outside clinic. So we're more of a presence when we do our clinics. On the right side of this slide, sensory, we've been highlighting that we have sensory measures for people that are worried about getting shots. So these are just some of the things we have in our clinics. I have some more stuff since this was posted. So we have light covers. We have our bubble walls. We have needle covers. We have the busy bee, and that's a frozen wings, and the bee buzzes. We have shot blockers, and we also have, they call them like comfort cats and therapy dogs. They're stuffed animals that are weighted. We have sensory mats, sound things. So we're trying to highlight that we are working with kids, adults, anybody that has hesitation with vaccines. We have different things for that. Let me go on to the next slide. So these are just a few of the things we're working on. So Brittany's been helping me with this stuff. We get immunization media money, and we're working on better utilizing that. So the one on the left, building immunizations and keys to immunizations, that we actually have plastic teething keys to go with it as a handout. So this talks about birth to age 6 on one side, and then the keys to immunization is 7 to 18 years. We tried to do a theme with all of these so that they were eye-catching for people. So we have those in our clinics. I'm currently waiting for the keys to come. They have all our logo on them so that we hand those out with these. The one on the right is seventh grade immunizations. One of the areas that we need to work on for our goals in immunizations is the meningitis and the HPV vaccines. So a gap that we have is after age 12, we really don't see these kids anymore because that's the shots are required in seventh grade, age 11 or 12, and then they kind of drop off for us. They don't really come back into the health department for services. So we've been trying to figure out ways to connect with these kids, looking at how we can get in the schools. This is one of the things we did with our media money is we're going to send this out in the seventh grade letters that the school nurses do so that these parents are getting a visual of at age 11, 12, they need these shots. They need a meningitis booster at 16, and then they work on their meningitis Bs. We're working on specifically meningitis B, but also the booster of meningitis we're highlighting as well. So those are two of the things that we're working on. A couple more things. The map on the left side is two-sided, and it's a trifold. And I also got some handouts for this as well, like little magnifying glasses and little compasses to give. I made this to kind of highlight where we live. So these shapes are the map key, so they can hunt for the immunization and see which ones. Just to be a little interactive, that QR code scans to our immunization page, but then it's got the arches, it's got animals, the hoodoos, trains, dinosaurs, the woolly mammoth, just to highlight our different counties, and then they finish at school. So it's kind of a camping adventure map. The one on the right is for college age kids, and we made this into a postcard style. So we will take these with us when we do the USU clinic. So it just talks about your next adventure is just ahead. Don't let vaccines stop you. And then it's got an address because we kind of thought it would be fun if they don't live here and they wanted to send it to their parents. They have that option. Then on the back side, it has the Colosseum. We went with an Italy theme, and it just talks about the vaccines needed for these age ranges. So we're just trying to highlight different groups with our media money and create a handout for all these different groups that we can use. Next, we have family services. So that's parents as teachers and children's clinic. For children's clinic, they did a clinic all day today with the staff that comes down from Salt Lake, and they have another clinic day again tomorrow. Seeing clients. With parents as teachers, we have hired, her name is Sissy Warden for the Moab Pet Educator. So far, she is doing fabulous. All sites are currently recruiting. They're working on visiting businesses, and we're working on transitioning Jill out of Pat and Sissy into Pat full time. With school services, their current focus right now is they are working on vision screenings. For the select grades that have those, 504 meetings with all the principals, parents, counselors, and they're preparing for school flu clinics. So their school flu clinics start next week. They'll start prepping for all of those, and then they'll do all the schools in Carbon and Emory, and then Donald also helps Nurse Mary do the schools in Grand as well as she needs help. So we help cover the flu clinics in all counties. With MCH services, one of the things that we've been doing is a breastfeeding class, and I just included our flyer over here on the left side. We fix the dates on these as it goes out, and we put them on social media, and we have them in all of our offices. This is a 1.5-hour class that's free. We've had 1 to 2 participants come to each class. They learn basic breastfeeding, troubleshooting, ideas. There's videos, slides, and there's childcare if they need it. It's taught by Whitney and Alex. So Whitney is our nutritionist and Alex is our peer counselor. I asked Whitney for some feedback on the class. She said that her and Alex have lots of fun teaching it. They really enjoy it. They said they just wish more people would come. So if you guys know of anybody that could benefit from this, we put this out on our social media. Like I said, we've been taking it to partner organizations. So it's kind of fun that they've been able to do this, and we hope to see it grow. It was WIC's 50th birthday this year, so we had an open house the 16th through the 19th. Many of you may have seen this on our social media. Brittany also did a really cute post with our staff and their different decorations in their offices. So we had refreshments, a coloring contest, a raffle, and we had some giveaways, some swag with our logo on it. We gave out cookies, juice, water, cuties, and just we had everything decorated. They had really cute balloon arch banner things. So that was really fun. So we did that last week. And any WIC client that came in got refreshments. Any client that came in, we gave them refreshments. So that was kind of fun to celebrate. One of other thing I'm going to add in family services is we are partnering with Head Start, and next week we will house their the health fair in our office again. So we will have all different providers from the community, have the Head Start kids come. We invite our families to come as well. So that will be next week in our Price office. We will hold the health fair. That's our second year in a row. So I apologize to jump back to that. But these are the QI numbers that one time I presented on these, and Debbie asked if I could give updates every time. So I just thought it would be nice to just do – this is the exact sheet that we put them in. And they helped me put, Hannah, Bree, and Aaron helped me put these numbers in because they're tallying. So this is just a brief, overview of our caregiver mental health screenings, our SEEK screenings, and our TCM numbers. And this is our quality improvement projects that we're working on for each office. Just a reminder, SEEK is in Moab, TCM is in Castle Dell. And caregiver mental health, we kind of track that one in Price. So each office is in charge of one of these, and then we're working on upping all of these numbers. So then we have communicable disease. So with this, we Bree got a fabulous idea to put some condoms in paper bags for people to take. And we thought to do that, we could have education. So this is another card that we created that Hannah had actually created this before. We just made a new version of it, included some more resources on the one side with our Plan B stuff so that people have education on that and education about sexual health. So that's something that we've started putting in bags just to make sure when people are getting the condoms, they're also getting some education with it. And that is all I have. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, so for community health, I wasn't as fancy as Sarah doing a PowerPoint, so I'll just tell you. So our tobacco team has recently partnered with WIC and the nurses to do a handout about vaping while pregnant. And so working on drafting up that information, and we'll get that to the nurses so that they can educate on that. We're still doing Tobacco 101 in Emory County High School, and we have some coming up during the first week of October. And WP actually got us into the juvenile detention center as well, so that was a new avenue. We have recently been asked by a few community businesses if we can get tobacco signs out there. So we've the new CERTA building has our tobacco signs, as well as a new playground going up in Helper, and then also, the talk of new pickleball courts is in the future, so we're kind of working with them as well, getting those out there. The opioid prevention program, some recent things there, is the one box. I thought I would show you. Can you all see it? Okay. So Taylor saw a webinar on this and wanted to test it out. So it's kind of being piloted right now. But it is a box that actually talks to you, and I'll show you that in just a second, but it has, Narcan in it, as well as face masks and whatnot. If you do run into an overdose at a public event. So we're looking at putting them in community buildings, places where large gatherings happen, like rodeo grounds, fairgrounds, things like that. So just in case, if stores, we've talked to some stores as well. So if any community member can access this, and we're going to put them near the AEDs. So that's where they'll be found. And so if it is needed, they can pull it open and pull this tab, and it will actually talk to them.
First off, let's take a deep breath.
And it will go through how to administer the Narcan and what they need to do, call 911 first, things like that. So we have put stickers on them for a use log, as well as our contact information at the top. So if it's been tampered with or used or anything like that, we can get the data from that. So we're excited to get that out. It's been presented at commission meetings and things like that around the counties. So we'll be getting that out here shortly. We have recently built some surveys with our the help of our epidemiologist, and we have been giving the surveys to the harm reduction clients. We needed some extra data, or actually I should say like data for our area. And so those surveys have been helping with that. So it'll be nice to have that accessible when we need it. The surveys are very short, three to five questions. And we've covered a variety of topics on them. So I'm anxious to get those crunched in, and I can share with you next time possibly. We're still working on expanding in Emory County. It is available in Emory County, but still wanting to build it bigger. Still doing Narcan trainings throughout the communities. Okay, so for our HEAL program, we've made Park RX cards is what they're called, and we've made one for Carbon, Emory, and Grand County. And it's just a exercise need to get outdoors and how much it can do for your mental health and physical health. We provided all the parks and trails in Carbon, Emory, and Graham. So there's a separate card for each county that we've done. And we've given them out to the clinics and medical offices and things like that that people can pick up and get that. The Million Hearts program, it's a goal to prevent 1 million heart attacks and strokes over 5 years. So clinics can partner with the health department and track blood pressure for their patients. And if they can improve, if they can track it and improve, then they're awarded with the Million Hearts Award. And Green River actually got awarded that last year, and East Carbon Medical Clinic has is interested in doing it for this round. So we're working with them on that. Eat Well Utah is a program that food places can do. So the cafeteria at USU Eastern just received this award, and they go through the program. They can select different ways that they can improve. It can be as easy as making sure your desserts aren't at the front. Put them in the back. Maybe put healthier things up front to get attention. It can be smaller cake sizes or smaller donut sizes or whatever. There's a variety of things. Compost is in there. So the program covers a variety of different areas that they can take to improve, to get the Eat Well Utah Award. So, like I said, USU Eastern just got awarded with that. They completed the program, and we have, the Children's Justice Center wanted to do it. So we're working with them right now doing that. The Grand County Senior Center has allowed us to get in there and teach self-monitoring blood pressure. So Beth has gone in and taught them during, I believe it's called their tea time. Correct me if I'm wrong, Moab. But anyway, so they invited Beth with open arms and said that she can come in whenever she wants to educate on anything. So I feel like that was a huge avenue, and we're very excited for that because that can cover a variety of different topics. We've partnered with USU Extension for diabetes cooking classes that will be starting in October. So that is another good avenue that we've hit. With the car seat program, we sent 2 more employees to be certified this last quarter. So we have a total of 8 certified child passenger safety technicians. It's a week-long course that they take to get certified. 7 of us are attending a child passenger safety conference at the beginning of October, And it's an opportunity to renew all of the certifications so that we can maintain those. We have wanted to partner with law enforcement more on car seat safety. So we drafted up a handout of just very brief car seat education, photos, information, as well as a QR code, and our phone number and contact information. We do have certified technicians in all three counties. So, all that information is on that card. So, law enforcement, if they pull someone over and notice that the child isn't properly restrained, they'll give them that information, the card handout. So, let's see. With health equity, when helping the public with resources when they call in, we wanted a way to track that and so that we knew some high points that were helping the most people with. So our epidemiologist has helped us create a document that will help track that. So for each person they help, they'll write the service that they helped them with and whatnot, so that we can start tracking that as well for data. Also with health equity, there's a multicultural health fair that's being planned right now. It'll be on November 2nd and still in the planning stages, but we'll send some information out about that. Poison control, we still educate at Head Starts and preschools in all three counties. And during the holidays, we kind of wanted to expand a little with poison control and partner with environmental health on cooking meats thoroughly to the right temperature during family gatherings during the holidays. So that's something new we're kind of going to branch out in this year. With asthma, we were able to get 100 air purifiers. A company up north wanted to provide air purifiers. So we jumped at the chance. So we did share with several of the programs at the health department because all of us run into a family that might need it. So we've given those out and we have them here. So if you guys know of anyone that can utilize them, let us know because we have a lot. But those are used primarily for the asthma clients. And suicide prevention. September is Suicide Prevention Month, so we've been very busy with some activities with that. Done the Candlelight Vigil, the Hope Walk, been at Recovery Days with that, and a Light to Remember out at Huntington Lake. And we continue to teach QPR in all three counties, and that has branched into some new avenues as well, which is exciting. We do have 4 employees on the team who are certified to teach QPR. So if Amanda ever can't, there's 3 more that can. Some miscellaneous things. We participated in the Mayor's Walk for Price and Helper and provided education on physical activity, sun safety, water safety, and pet safety is kind of a new little avenue we've taken. We did do a flyer on summer pet safety and have distributed it to groomers as well as vet clinics. We have 4 employees that got certified for the Strengthening Families program, ages 10 to 14. Four Corners actually set that up for us, and so we're very grateful for that opportunity. There is a course scheduled that starts at the end of October, I believe it is, and so they're going to get thrown right into utilizing that training. So that's exciting. Family Field Day with 4 Corners is something else we partnered with. We donated helmets for, I believe it was Kiwanis that donated the bikes. And then we donated the helmets and gave out vouchers. And so when they come in, we educate them on helmet safety, bike safety, and then they can get a free helmet. So, then we've also tabled at events, educational information at Heritage Days, East Carbon Community Days, the fair, the Blue Blast Block Party, which is the USU Eastern Back to School fair where all the resources are out there at Kids Day, International Days. And then we also had the opportunity to educate at the MRC meeting. So those are kind of just miscellaneous things and what we've been up to. That's all I have.
Thank you, Sarah and Jessica, Orion.
Well, it's apparent that Jessica has not been doing very much, and the same with Sarah. No, that's pretty amazing. So we've got quite a bit going on in environmental health. The main thing that I wanted to talk to y'all about today is our fee schedule. This is not an action item. This will be an action item in November, but I just wanted to reach out and get just kind of some guidance from the board on where you want me to go with it. But first, I'll give you a brief overview of what we've been doing in environmental health. For about the last 9 months, we've been working on launching a program called Civic Review, which will house all of our permits, which we have about 1,700 of right now, and collect fees on each month, or not each month, each year. And this will be the first that we've been able to take online payments for those recurring annual permits. So we're pretty excited about that. We've been saying that it was going to go live for the last, in 3 weeks for about 8 months now. But it's actually getting pretty close to actually going to be launched. I really hope to have that up and ready to go prior to our permit renewals that we usually send out December 1st. Another thing we did, it was a small grant. We did Septic Smart Week. Let me share my screen here real quick. So we sent out this, several years ago, we got a grant to map all of our septic systems. And in combination with that, we figured out how we were able to use that map to identify all the addresses in our area that had septic systems. And we were able to send out, guidance to people, on maintaining those and reminding people that they need to maintain them. Unfortunately, the Zoom is hiding things on me. So anyway, this goes out to some simple information. We were partnered with the Moab Area Watershed Partnership, as well as the Utah Division of Environmental Quality, specifically the Water Quality Division, and sending out information. So that just happened week before last. That was good. That was a good community partnership. It's always great when you can write a grant by asking somebody else to do it that works for a different agency, and then they do all the work and let us take the credit. So you can thank Ernie Holquist with the Moab Area Watershed Partnership for helping us out with that. I wanted to mention that through the health officers, I was given the opportunity to go to a leadership training through the health officers exec, as well as it was taught by Intermountain Healthcare a few weeks ago. It was a week long. I was extremely skeptical going into it, and I came out drinking the Kool-Aid and singing Kumbaya with everybody else. And it was so inspirational. I came home and told my wife to quit her job because her boss sucks. So that was a extremely good experience for me. And I think that as more of our leaders in our health department go through that, we're going to see even better change in building that culture I was mentioning earlier within our health department. Sorry that I have two dogs fighting in the background making noise. Another thing that's been really big for us is we have partnered with Central Utah to train the new environmental health director for San Juan County because they don't have they don't have anybody else other than environmental health. Excuse me, dogs, outside, out. All right, they're gone now. because they didn't have anybody to train. Dennis is his name. He's extremely good. We have partnered and shared our teams with him to help train him on how to do things and therefore create better security and environmental health throughout our state, because it was an area that was missing things. Let's see. Marie's been rocking it on pool inspections. So have Sam and Brandon. Never in the history of the health department has every pool in our area been inspected annually. This will be the first year that that's happened. And by inspected, I mean a full facility inspection. We've been doing bacteriologic testing on all of them for many years, but this is actually getting into the pump rooms, meeting with the pool operators, discussing things, fixing the stuff outside of just water quality. Similar with food inspections, we're more up to date than we really ever have been before. And another part of it, food inspections. We were able to adjust one of our grants to for the Healthy Trails Coordinator. This is a shared position between Graham County and the Health Department for essentially teaching people how to properly defecate in the wilderness. And that's gone on for 2 years now. We adjusted it to our third year, and Jonathan had a meeting today to help transition to maybe potentially get a totally separate grant to continue that program, but put it fully funded into the hands of Grand County instead of it being this kind of funny shared partnership where we're paying 50-50 and they're paying 50-50. They should be able to gain all of the money to be able to do that. Which will make financing, the financial end of it easier, but we will still remain partners. Any questions so far? No, doesn't look like it, at least for those of you that I can see. All right, so many years ago, the fee schedule was the board at that time wanted the fee schedule to increase at 3% annually until otherwise told, until otherwise voted upon. We haven't done that in a couple years because it was very much like compound interest and it was causing some of the fees to become too high. I'd like to maintain that in there as an option with the understanding that I will always, that the board will always be, consulted prior to that fee schedule change. So this year I'm proposing a few fee schedule changes, but not across the board, just kind of where I'm seeing us putting more time and effort into regulating these things and where the money's not really, the fees aren't keeping up with our cost of doing business. So Tracy, correct me if I'm wrong, but not that many years ago, the environmental health program was at a deficit of about $350,000 every year with a much smaller staff. Now, with the larger staff that we have now, last year we were had a deficit of about $100,000. So it's my goal to, my goal really is to do it before Tracy retires, but we'll see if we can get there, because she doesn't believe it'll happen. But my goal is to come figure out how to finally break even, or at least come very close to it. So septic systems are anything that's in red and highlighted in red is a fee schedule change. Anything that is red and it's just the font that is red, that is just changing of some of the wording in the fee schedule itself. So septic systems that I have historically kept. Can you see my cursor? Somebody nod their head. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Septic systems, I've always kept the fee much lower than many others in the state because we are in a rural area and it's really easy to sneak these things in sometimes. And by having a lower fee, we're going to make people less sneaky, but it is time to update that a little bit based on the time and value that we're honestly putting into them now. So I'm proposing that we go from the $354 to $400. Just a reminder, this is just for information today. Everything else within wastewater will remain the same. Also, just of note, as some of these fees change, it's generally in relation to us providing more services. Now, previously, oftentimes we weren't able to provide the services as well as we would like to, but now we actually are. We have a strike through here, seasonal food establishment fee, 6 months or less. It was just that particular section was just redundant with line 89, which we'll see down here. Essentially what we do, if a business isn't open more than 6 months out of the year, we're going to charge them 50% of their typical annual fee. Okay, food trucks, this one, this seems like a drastic change. The food truck fees haven't changed in a long time. Food truck fees are agreed upon fees that are statewide. So when food trucks first got their own very special rule of mobile food sanitation, all of the health departments collectively voted to charge this $200 and $350 fee. We at that time were around $100, and Salt Lake County was around $1,500. And so Salt Lake had to drastically drop their fees. We had to bring ours up. And that's kind of what's happening here. So these fees are actually the $500, which we should see maybe in one of these other food services. That's going to be higher than our brick and mortars. But the reason is politics. We'll just go with that. Yeah, our highest restaurant fee, the brick and mortar restaurant's $408. Inherently, though, food trucks do pose a higher risk than a brick and mortar because they don't have all of the facilities in them. And therefore, that's one way to justify this, but the facts are it's politics. We have to play the game. So those are the – and if anybody has questions along the way, please just interject. We're seeing more temporary body art. We're seeing more body art in general, body art being tattoos, primarily, and some sorts of piercing that is not just the lobe of the ear. A number of years ago, we I can't remember what year it was, 2020, 2021. There was a big push to get a state body art rule. Politics happened again. It was said that the state couldn't adopt one. So we adopted a body art rule locally. That body art rule is actually out. A very similar version to what we have adopted is actually out in public comment currently, and we've been sharing that with our body artists. But that's just some kind of background. But in addition to that, we're starting to see more temporary body art establishment. So we're starting to see that these are like events where a whole bunch of body artists come in from, you know, Salt Lake, Colorado, or all over the place, and they hold like a small convention and do tattoos. There have been a couple in Price. We had one just a couple weeks ago here in Moab. We actually partnered with them, both health promotion and environmental health partnered with them because it was a tattoos for recovery event. And so we provided the hand washing stations. I waived the fees because really they don't add up to that much because the event had the same mission that we had essentially, and it was a good thing. So, but that being said, when we see a for-profit temporary body art establishment come up, if it's a for-profit thing, we need to have a fee in there. And still, relatively minimal fee, $162. Tattoos cost a lot more than that. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, health promotion had people there. It was a good thing. We also seeing more establishments come in. We've recognized that we need to have a plan review fee for those new establishments. We have a plan review fee for all of the other ones. We just were seeing so few that just got missed in previous fee schedules. Waste tires, we still don't do any of that. That was a hope and a dream millions of years ago that we were going to get a waste tire recycling facility, but we keep it in place just in case. So public lodging. This public lodging fees are the fees that keep us flowing as environmental health. They apply to all the short-term rentals in our area, hence the public lodging 0 to 49. That picks up those nightly rentals. Like I mentioned before, the environmental health programs was about $100,000 in deficit last year. By increasing each of these fees by $100, I forgot the exact calculation I did, but that'll make up about $80,000 of that $100,000 deficit. Looking at some of our nightly rentals, some of them charge in the thousands of dollars a night per unit. I mean, those are large, really nice homes. Typically, they're charging the $300-$400 range per night. So our justification in having these permit fees is that we receive money for our residents to protect public health. We do not receive money for transient populations. And because we don't, especially in Grand County, we're protecting 3 to 5 million extra people that we receive no funding for per year that are staying in these lodging facilities. It is still our responsibility to make sure those restaurants are safe, the water is safe, all of the things we do, environmental health, are safe, but there's no revenue stream for taking care of that extra 3 to 5 million people. And this is, in my opinion, a very small ask of those property management places to pitch in, take care of the people that are coming in, that they're bringing here. But with that in mind, too, I also want to have, there's not very many of them, but notice that the bed and breakfasts, it's more than 6 rooms, and that's relates directly to the food code. Bed and breakfasts that have 6 or less rooms are not regulated when it comes to food, but they have to be owner occupied. And I want to translate that into the lodging. If we have community members living in our community that are running a bed and breakfast to make their livelihood, they're not going to receive a fee. These are generally going to be people that are able to afford secondary homes, outside investors, that sort of thing. These aren't, and so that's how I'm trying to kind of keep things like community driven with the protection of that transient population. And, this is just what I was saying before on where we got rid of that half of annual for seasonal food things. This is for pools and food and others. Any of the permits, if they're open less than 50% of the year, they pay 50% of the fees. All right, open for discussion.
On line 74, is that supposed to be an increase to 209, or are you keeping that stagnant at the 109?
I'm sorry, which one are you speaking
line of? Line 74 in your lodgings.
Did I make a mistake? Just a sec. Line 74. We'll remain that at the 109. That's fine. We don't get a lot of follow-up inspections in the public lodging, so I think that I just highlighted too many things in that case. Any other questions? Okay. So if the other thing I'm looking for from this board is not just, I mean, if you think that we're being too kind in not increasing fees across the board, that's feedback I would like to know as well. It's been, like I said, it's been a few years since we did the 3%. It could be justified in this case to make up that extra $20,000-ish that I would need to bring environmental health into breaking even. But is it worth it for the health department to pay that extra $20,000-ish to feed back into our community? So that's kind of.
I'm just turning that down.
Myself, this is Mary McGann. I like this the strategic method you used, where there was rationale and reasoning behind why certain ones were increased and certain ones weren't, rather than doing a blanket increase. So that's my feedback. I prefer, you know, having a rationale behind the increase.
Okay. Appreciate that. Anybody else?
This is Debbie, and I also like the idea of no fee if owner-occupied bed and breakfast. I think that speaks well for our population. I like that one. Thank you.
Brianne had her hand up.
Yeah, I agree. I think that your efforts in keeping the lodging community driven, it seems really appropriate. So I appreciate that. I had a quick question regarding the food trucks, and I was wondering if you might speak briefly to the politics you mentioned regarding the fees for the food trucks. I just was curious.
It's purely based on Salt Lake County versus rural, and some of the other it's Wasatch Front versus rural. Wasatch Front has much higher fees than rural does in general, mostly just because of the significant staffing increases that they have. Like Salt Lake County has like 90 environmental health scientists, and I've got 5. But it's just a matter of others had higher fee schedules. We have lower fee schedules. We're able to serve our community under that lower fee schedule, and therefore we do. And it was a matter of coming to compromise amongst both the environmental health directors and the health officers. And sadly, I mean, not sadly, it's part of doing business. We have to come to compromise. And that's what I mean by politics.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Can I jump in just for a second?
Sure.
As he mentioned, you know, that there was a huge disparity in some of these costs, and it was leading some of these mobile businesses to say, well, I'm going to go to Weber County to get my license instead of Salt Lake County, even though I'm based in Salt Lake County. So that's the reasoning for, the primary reasoning for making the licensing fee uniform across the state is so that they will actually go where they're based. And then the increase is related to what Orion said, that Salt Lake, which has the vast majority of these mobile businesses, they took quite a tremendous hit when they went uniform with the rest of us. So this is kind of helping them become a little bit more whole on their end.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks. That makes sense.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification, Brady. And just in addition, it's the only permit that is a statewide permit. Like any of our food trucks can go to Salt Lake so long as they spend more than 6 months out of the year in our area. So yeah, it was agreed upon to do a statewide permit, and it was a bunch of legislative stuff. Like even the food trucks even have to have that fire marshal sticker has to be honored in, like, Brandon McGuffey's my guy here in Grand that does fire marshal stuff. He puts his sticker on, Salt Lake has to honor it. We give them a sticker, Salt Lake has to honor it. So it's really up the standard for how well food trucks are regulated as well. Frankly, you just don't want to approve anything that's going to a different county if it's not just perfect. So, yeah, any other questions? Okay, that's enough of my time. Thank you all. I will present. I will just have this on the agenda for the November meeting for a vote and approval, and any other questions that I'll come up with along the way.
Thank you.
Or maybe it's in October, whenever that is.
Right, and we'll bounce back up to the audit report. Tracy or Brady, do you want to take that?
This is the greatest meeting ever. Tracy's going to take this one. She's getting close to retirement, so she has to take as many as she can until she retires. That's the agreement.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. I didn't know if I'd muted myself or not. So you all got a copy of the audit report, and it's a lot of pages of a lot of stuff. And so some of the bigger things on there is on page 11, we do the economic forecast. And that's something Brady and I work on to put in the audit report. So you can kind of see what we're looking at working on in the future. And so in this one, we talked about how the COVID funds are going to end, but not till 2026, and what we're going to do with those COVID funds. And we have that Environmental Health is working on their electronic platform. And as Orion said, they're doing their lodging permits and stuff now. So we've worked with Civic Review, and Express Bill Pay is the company that we're going to use so that we can get credit card payments and stuff where people can go online and do that. And Jonathan, who's been the lead on this, is also going to work with them to see how we can get the water lab. We've had several vendors in the water lab who would like to be able to pay online. So right now those can't, but that's what we're looking at within the next year or two. We also, the expansion of the Moab office is still a huge need. And so it's a long-term project. We still don't know for sure how we're going to do it, but it is something that we know we need to look at. And then in the Castledale office for our planning is that we were going to get a generator in 2024 so that they would have backup. So there's already one in Price, and there is one in Moab. And so that's actually already in place. So we finished that project. And then the other thing that we had mentioned that we need to work on is our security system. And so Price, when we redid the building, we do have a security system here, but it's not really a very good one. It needs to be tweaked. We can't do anything remotely, and there's still some doors that need more things done to them, doors that we need to be able to access maybe with just certain people with a key card. And then Castledale and Moab don't have anything set up in their offices yet. And so, Moab, we really don't want to do anything till we figure out the building information and how we're going to upgrade the building. But that will be something that we will be doing with that building. And then in the Castledale office, besides the generator, one of our goals was to reduce some of the office space that wasn't being used and rent that out. And we are doing that. We have two renders in there now, white space design, and we have a barber shop in there. So and when they pay their rent, then that goes back into all of the programs. And that was one of the things that we saw on our budget summary. And on page 17, it kind of shows you what our general fund and our total government funds are for 2023 at the end. And the biggest thing we had this year was we did have a loss in our fund balance. And that was with the WIC funds from the Moab building. And so we knew we were going to get that. It was kind of a double whammy for us because not only did we have to pay the funds back, but it showed up in 2022 as a prepaid expense. So it kind of had to come out twice. It came out because we had to reimburse it, but we had to take it out of prepaid expense. So that's why that one is so high. This year we're looking good, and we haven't had to take money out of the fund balance for a year, so we will be able to make it up. But that was just something that happened that we couldn't control. And then the other big stuff is Schedule 1, which goes from page 44 to, I think, 58. And that one, when you look at it, it just shows you all of the programs. And so it will show you, that's not 44, just a minute, 44 shows our revenues and expenditures. So it carries on with the same one. Where it shows kind of our loss. And then the other one is, page 48 to 56. And that shows all the programs. And it shows you what we made in the programs or what we overspend in the programs. And so as you look through that, you can kind of see how we offset it. And then knowing that all of our contracts, even though our audit is on a calendar year, our contracts are not. So sometimes it may look like we're overspending or underspending, but it's because of the way that the years end up. Some things start in October, some start in July, some start in January, some go for 9 months and then have another 3 month period. So they're kind of all crazy and all over the place. So, but that just kind of gives you a look at where those are. And then as you, when Orion says like environmental health is in the hole, we have fee services and stuff that help bring that up. So when you see some of the programs, and one of theirs is their CHS, their in environmental health, and they spend, they only get $11,000 a year, and they spend that in July. And so everything else that they spend for the rest of the year is over that. But then these fees and stuff help make up for that. And then also our county funds. So if something is underspent, our county funds help bring in money for that. And then we have a few other ones, some of our check physicals, vital stats, we make a little bit of money on that. So those things will help offset programs that are overspent. And we had no findings. And so there was, they didn't write us up for anything. This report goes into the state, and I don't know if there's much else to say about it.
And then is an action item, so we vote to accept the audit report?
Yes.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to accept.
I move to accept the audit report, and congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
And well a done. Second from Kathy. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes, and great job. And I'm not sure if we need a closed session today, but we will form ad hoc committees for the health officer annual review.
Which I know is everybody's favorite activity. So don't raise your hand all at once.
I believe it was Brianne, Kelly, and myself last year. Does anybody want to take it this year? Debbie, awesome. Okay. Emory County and Graham County. You can also.
I suggest Jordan.
I was going to say volunteer the people who aren't here.
I agree with Kathy. I think Jordan would be great.
I do too. Thanks, Kelly.
You're welcome.
Debbie, if you'll reach out to Jordan, if he declines, but pressure him. If he declines, I will fill in.
I'll do it again.
Excellent. We will look forward to the report from Debbie, Brianne, and Jordan Leonard.
And I will get you last year's, and we'll work on setting up a date. Before you close, Zach, I just wanted to thank the board for taking the time to listen. We don't – oftentimes we get those program updates at the end of our board meetings, and we only have a couple of minutes. And there's so much good stuff going on, and again, we missed some programs, but we'll get them next time. That I appreciate you taking the time to hear that and the staff to relate that and all they're doing in the meantime. It's a lot of good work. So thank you.
It was very helpful, in my opinion, to hear what all the different programs are accomplishing. And I do appreciate those updates, even though it gets tiresome to sit and listen. But it's very informative.
Don't realize how busy the employees are until you get a report of what they're doing.
And it's good to get a snapshot of what everybody's doing, because you assume that everybody's doing stuff, but to see how much ground everybody's covered, that's always a good thing to see. All right. Any other business, Brady?
I don't believe we have any from our end. I appreciate everyone's adjustment kind of last minute on how we executed the meeting. But we'll look forward to our budget meeting in November.
We'll all pack a lunch and come ready.
All right.
All right. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for the time that you've taken today. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Excellent. Perfect. All right. Have a great Tuesday night, all.
Thank you. See ya.